7, which is the local safeguarding adult children board. Steve Croppy is not here, but is Cathy going to deal with that next speak? Welcome, Cathy.
I think we'll do this as a...
Sorry, could you just introduce yourself so that those who are new to the board know who you are?
Yeah, I'm Cathy Marriott. I'm Area Director for Children's Services on the Isle of Wight, and I'm also a representative on the Isle of Wight Safeguarding Children's Board.
I'm Carol Tozer, I'm a Department of Care, and I'm a member of the Safeguarding Adults Board.
So we're just presenting really some work that's been happening across both the Children's Board and the Adults Board regarding developing a whole family approach protocol and online resource centre. What has happened across not just the Island Safeguarding Boards but across the four LSCBs and four Safeguarding Adults Boards, so that's Portsmouth, Southampton and Hampshire as well, is a need to look at through serious case reviews that we've undertaken across all of those different boards, we've identified the need for more joined up working and taking a much more holistic family approach in terms of the work that we undertake with children and families. So hence we have been working across the different boards to look at how we can develop a family approach protocol, which now both boards are signing up to. And that is contained in the papers that are appended to this proposal. Just to kind of really clarify the scope of the protocol, we've identified through the serious case reviews that we've undertaken that particularly in the areas around domestic abuse, where we have parental and familial mental ill health, where there are learning disabilities and substance misuse, we need particularly to be having a joined up approach and working together, having increased communication and integrated working in terms of developing plans for those families, both the adults in the families but also the children in those families. So that's the scope of the work that we're looking at. We've developed a definition of what we mean by a whole family approach, which can be found on page C5. Which basically is one that secures better outcomes for adults, children and families with additional needs by coordinating the support that they receive both from adult and children and family services. And that actually what we should be focusing on, whether we're working with a case where a child needs safeguarding or actually we're recognising that an adult has additional needs, is that we should be, from a children's perspective, looking to make sure that we're working with our adult services colleagues in supporting the adult's needs. But equally, if adult safeguarding or adult mental health services are working with an adult patient or client, they're taking into consideration the fact that they have children in that family as well, and they need to have a joined up package of care around those individuals. So really it's setting up that protocol, but what we've also done is really look at, okay, what are the practical resources that our staff need across adult and children's services, whether that's health or social care, that will support them in taking this whole family approach. And so hence we're developing an online resource toolkit and delivering training over the next year to address that as well. So that's kind of a quick summary really. I don't know, Karen, if you want to add.
I'll just be very brief. So what this intends to do is to ensure that we improve professional practice, that we become increasingly less myopic in terms of looking at just the person in front of us, be they an adult, be they a child, and responding accordingly. It's really important that certain colleagues in health are also heavily engaged in this. This is not just a social care change in practice. So, for instance, the engagement of ISIS in terms of substance misuse is really key. The role that the police plays similarly is also really important when they're attending domestic abuse issues, for instance, which result in safeguarding and that we begin to look. And there are some really good tools out there, family group conferencing being but one, that one can use in terms of addressing when the needs of one individual causes real risks of either abuse or neglect to another within their family, regardless of whether they're the primary victim or effectively what would be called a secondary victim.
Comments from members, sir, did you have that, Zonia?
Thank you, Chair. I have a comment. Before I had a question, before Carol spoke, Carol mentioned family conferencing as a tool. And I know it is a tool which is based on the strengths of the family and utilizing the strengths, the many strengths, and building resilience. Yet nothing about this approach is in the definition. Definition is talking about that focusing on problems affecting the whole family is the only effective way. I'm just wondering if you can add something about building resilience. But otherwise, I think it is a fantastic approach. There is a lot of evidence to prove that it is working. It is working elsewhere, and it is working in the Isle of Wight, where this approach was implemented sporadically. And I just wish success to our colleagues across the system.
Sonia, in terms of the tools which will be going on in terms of an online resource, so what the papers has is a series of prompts and sorts of things that practitioners, be they a social worker, be they a police officer, be they a nurse, be they a doctor, should be a housing professional, should be asking themselves. The tools will be saying, here's how to work in those circumstances. And I deliberately mentioned FGC family group conferencing as being but one tool, because there are some others. But the FGC, why I mentioned that, is precisely because family group conferencing look at family in its wider context and the strengths that can exist. So you may have a family where you've got, you know, mother, father, children, but where there are some severe risks to children because of the parents' mental health or substance issues and learning difficulties or domestic abuse, but actually what you may have some really protective grandparents who can absolutely help to support. So family group conferencing will be explicitly referenced, and I know in adults we're about to do some major training around family group conferences.
Thank you. What I meant is actually that we probably need to reword slightly definition, adding some focus on positives rather than just focusing on problem is the only way.
Just to come back, family meetings are taking place, and I think I don't want people to go away thinking actually there isn't all this joined up working happening. I think it's about how we're actually really being clear, putting it in a protocol, and I completely agree with the strength-based approach. It's what we're looking at across the whole of children's services, and actually also the partner agencies, looking at how do we build resilience in children, how do we build resilience in families, but also in communities, because what we want to do is when there is no longer any need for any statutory intervention, actually we're not waiting for the next crisis. Part of our step down is that we have built resilience around that family, so the next time there is a crisis, it doesn't need to be escalated into children's social care. So absolutely, I agree with you that resilience approach is where we're aiming at, and family meetings are one way of achieving that, and those are being delivered in family meetings or family group conferences, but they are already taking place.
So does it mean that you will amend the definition? Because this is the only thing that I'm asking. I know that you're doing this great work. It's just about wording.
Yeah, we can take that back to the LSDBs. Yeah, and
just worth looking at that again.
Yeah. So
I think the action out of the comment is to ask them to review that definition in light of the fact of working together. comments from members. Can I just make one for information? So Paul is with us. We purposefully extended the role that particular cabinet member has to include, and I'm using education as the example, children's services, education and skills, because it was quickly becoming apparent that it's a lifelong approach here, and on the island in relation to education, we want to make sure we didn't just drop off at the end of children's services, but actually we were taking account of all the wider issues. And I think this is just one little example of where we move towards greater working together. And the only thing is, it becomes then also apparent how complex this journey is going to be when you're trying to bring together organisations, even when we just heard about our own internal adjustment going on. So I think we need the Health and Wellbeing Board to keep a very clear oversight of what's going on here. So thank you very much for that presentation. And we'll move, I don't think we are sort of, we're just noting the report, is that what we're doing here?
Yes, the
LSDB
and the staff.
Okay, then shall we note the report and pick up that action that's on your screen? So thank you for that.